as we look at this letter from James, James, the half-brother of Jesus, who was the leader of the leader of the church in Jerusalem in around the 50s AD, a man leading the church at a difficult time when there were division between rich and poor, and before the destruction of Jerusalem, there was tensions that were spilling over into the church. But dear Lord, help us to trust you, to learn from what we have to say, that we might be a united church, a church that does not show favouritism, that we might show Christ to the world and the difference that knowing him makes. So help us to love looking at your word today together. Amen. So James 2, accepting others as God has accepted us. I've got a picture going up. Thanks, Kathy. There we go. Good looking bloke. Who is that? That's Uncle Bob. So he is someone we all know well. He's Irish Conservative Prime Minister Robert Bob Cecil, who in 1887 appointed his nephew, Arthur, as Chief Secretary of Ireland. It was a surprising and an unpopular decision when Arthur's only qualifications for the job were that Bob's your uncle. So if you've ever said Bob's your uncle, that's Bob, and that's where it comes from. And out in the world today, there's all sorts of favouritism that takes place. Favouritism, nepotism, cronyism, jobs for the boys, for family members and friends by those in positions of power. Who gets the job and who gets promoted, as well as who doesn't get the job. Sometimes based on discrimination and prejudice, judged on things such as race and gender. But not just in the workplace, but even in our friendships, who we like to associate with and don't like to associate with. It's interesting thinking about our own decisions and what's behind them. Choosing a school for Ellie next year, many of the kindy parents choose St. Pius over Earnshaw State School to avoid all the riffraff. That's their words, not mine. It's important, there's some of the Earnshaw riffraff there. It's important choosing schools where our kids aren't negatively affected by poor behaviour around them. But when we view the world through the lens of the gospel, that Jesus came to seek and save the lost and hang out specifically with the riffraff, with people like me and you, shouldn't it change our attitude to how we see the world? Very happy that Ellie will most probably be going to Earnshaw School. Which raises some big questions. As Christians, do we really believe what we say we believe? Does being a follower of Jesus make any difference at all in how we actually live and the choices we make? Or is it just all talk? Do we have a faith that works, or a faith and life still governed by the culture around us? Because even though unfair favouritism does exist in the world, James is telling us today that it mustn't exist in the church. Because favouritism is completely incompatible for those with faith in our glorious Lord Jesus. Verse 1 of chapter 2, my brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favouritism. Both the words Lord and glory that James uses to describe his half-brother Jesus are words used to describe God in the Old Testament. Jesus is our glorious risen Lord, our God and King. So someone who claims to know Jesus and his glory, to call Jesus their Lord, it's totally out of place to show favoritism. And James shows us a little YouTube clip, CCTV footage as people come into church. Two men are both seen entering our church, and from what they're wearing, their outward appearance, you can see us treat them differently. Rich man, please sit here. Poor man, you sit here where we can keep an eye on you, near my feet. Verse 4, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? So James now gives us three reasons why it's so evil to judge and discriminate among ourselves as brothers and sisters in Christ, especially on something as superficial as our clothes or the colour of our skin. Three reasons for never showing favouritism as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus. Reason one, faith in Jesus changes how we treat people. Let's have a look from verse 5. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? but you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong?" When Sydney went to church in Des Moines Presbyterian, and two brothers from the boy band Human Nature would sometimes drop into our church. You guys would know Human Nature. They always produce a Christmas CD. I'm sure we all grab for our mothers. And the front man, and smaller of the two, Michael. So the guy who came to church most often was the guy on the left. And then at the back is his brother, Michael. And Michael would park his stunning gold convertible Lexus SC460 just opposite my white 97 hardtop Mazda. But what was fun at this welcoming church was watching people introduce themselves without recognizing them. Now, what do you do? I'm a singer. Wow, that must be a tough way to earn a living. I think they found our church refreshing, where people either didn't know them or didn't pay any more attention to them than anyone else. And when our glorious Lord Jesus chooses us, he doesn't look at our car, our Lexus, or our clothes. He doesn't pay the rich any special attention at the expense of the poor. It's quite the opposite. Even as Jesus began his famous Sermon on the Mount, which Glynis read for us at the beginning of the prayers, what were his first words? "Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Because the rich are often self-sufficient. They can be well off, masters of their own domain, thinking less about eternity and their accountability before God on the last day. Though that's not always the case, of course. But think about who God welcomes into his kingdom. Choosing to love people not based on their economic status, dependent on our bank balance or shrewdness in business. Choosing to love people from all backgrounds and cultures and languages, no matter our skin colour, no matter our clothes or how gifted or impressive or unimpressive we might be. Our Father's choice of us isn't based on any of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards, not many were influential, not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things, so that no one may boast before him." In fact, Jesus had every reason not to accept you. Every reason not to accept me. In God's eyes, we had nothing going for us at all. But he, our glorious Lord, he set aside his glory. He humbled himself to become nothing, a servant, less than a servant, dying a criminal's death for our unworthiness, to accept you and me purely by grace. So how does Jesus feel if we now dishonor those people our King has chosen to honor? If I say that you are unworthy of me, for whatever reason, aren't I insulting our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, who has invited me to be part of his kingdom? God has elected to save people from all socio-economic groups, all tribes and nations, to know and love and serve him. Who are we as a church to not thankfully receive all who accept his invitation? If Jesus has deep regard for everyone in our church community, who are we not to show the same honour even to those who are different from us? But why is James so down on the rich? Because the exploitation of the poor by wealthy landowners was a real problem during these tense times before the fall of Jerusalem. A small group of wealthy landowners were forcing large numbers of people from their land, using their power and influence, even in the courts, to secure favourable verdicts, blaspheming the noble name of Jesus by the way they were treating people. But whether we pander to the rich for what we can get out of them or mistreat the poor for what we can get out of them, this is completely out of step with God's way of doing things. And you might think, hey, thankfully that doesn't happen today. Remember the 2000 Olympic Games, the Sydney Olympics? Labelled as the People's Games. Ticketing for the events was supposedly designed to give everyone in Australia a fair go. Everyone given an equal chance of the best seats at the most popular events. Everyone was encouraged to fill in forms stating their first, second and third choices. Except when the tickets were allocated and thousands only won their third preference. And 80,000 people missed out altogether. The real truth began to emerge. That SOCOG had done a private deal with Tattersall's Club for wealthy businessmen who bought $500,000 worth of tickets without having to risk their chances in a lottery along with all the other riffraff. The ACCC found that SOCOG had misled the general public into believing they had an equal chance, but who had instead been fooled out of hundreds of thousands of dollars to watch not the opening ceremony or the 400 metres with Kathy Freeman, but Korea versus Bulgaria in the women's badminton doubles. Thrilling. So it does happen today. But reason two, for not showing favouritism in church, faith in Jesus means we don't break the royal law of love. Let's read from verse 8. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbour as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favouritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said you shall not commit adultery also said you shall not murder. If you do not commit adultery but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. So what's this all about? Sounds like there were people in the church who thought they were pretty good compared to Canadian teenagers on the run and those involved in last weekend's mass shootings in El Paso where the shooter specifically targeted Mexicans. I'm not that bad. My sins don't make the front page. It's easy to think that our sins don't compare to other people's sins. As the person in this, sure, I'm a murderer, but I've never committed adultery. Give me a break. So if we do show favoritism or discrimination in church, James is saying we mustn't make light of it. Jesus doesn't say it. It doesn't matter. It does matter. Not only does it matter, but it breaks the law closest to our own king's heart. If I show favoritism accepting this person but not that person, I've broken the royal law. I've broken the king's law. If I show favoritism, I've broken Jesus' own summary of how he calls us to now live as his people, loving God with all our hearts and loving our neighbour as ourselves. The sum total of what God now asks of us. But if we repent and love our neighbours as ourselves, we are keeping the very words of our glorious Lord and King. Am I treating other people the way I would like to be treated? Even this last week, someone rang my mobile wanting food. And once I said yes, the list of food and the quality of food they were asking for kept growing. It's not something I can afford to do all the time. Yes, can I have a lamb roast, please? But I was reminded of how generous we are to ourselves. On the same night, we were driving to pick up Chinese takeaway in Clayfield. Ellie in the back seat sporting her new My Little Pony dress. Love your neighbour as yourself. That's the word from my King Jesus. Think about how generous Jesus has been to me. How can I be stingy in how I relate to others? How can I treat other people here at church without love when Jesus has so lovingly died to embrace me? Which brings us to our final reason, number three. Faith in Jesus means we treat people as God has treated us. Verses 12 and 13. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And what these verses are telling us again is that it does matter how we treat people and whether we're merciful to people as God has been merciful to us in Christ. And it will matter on the last day. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Let me say that again. Judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Remember Jesus' parable of the the unmerciful servant, about the bloke who owes a king 10,000 bags of gold, a debt he cannot possibly pay. But when the king takes pity and he cancels the debt completely, you owe me nothing. That's what God does when he forgives us. You owe me nothing. And instead of being generous to others, this bloke goes out, he finds the first person who owes him the price of a cup of coffee. He throws him into prison until he pays back every penny. Which is how ugly our hearts are when we don't show others the same generosity our King has lavished on us. If he has cleared our debts completely, if he has forgiven me completely, he has redeemed us by his blood, forgiven us totally, he has adopted and received us unconditionally, what right do I have not to show others the same courtesy? Which also helps us realize that so many of our wrong heart attitudes would simply disappear if we truly spent time absorbing the incredible salvation we enjoy right now in Christ. If we truly grasp the enormity of what God has done to include even me, even you, in his forever family. How much more would we extend that same enormous welcome to others? Maybe then we'd realize that even what we're talking about today isn't a burden, but it's truly the law of freedom. Knowing our sins are forgiven and freeing us to show the same love to others. We are now free. Free in Christ, free to love others. Jesus is calling us not just to hear the word today, even say we believe, but actually do what it says. Because Jesus, the very manifestation of God's glory, chose to hang out with the poor and the outcasts and the riffraff. And we need to live as Jesus lived. Not showing favoritism, but welcoming everyone. And this week, racist remarks were made against Alan Christensen during the Lions' win over North Melbourne last Saturday. Is Alan passing the ball brilliantly at the front there? I'm embarrassed to say that when I was a kid, we all made racist jokes like the one that this bloke made. Against anyone, we felt different. That was the world I grew up in, living in Sydney. Thankfully, those times have changed. And the person responsible will not be allowed to take up membership unless they participate in cultural awareness training. And they said these sorts of comments have a great effect on families, on teammates and players around the league and around the country. But as we've heard today, Christians have even more reason to not show favoritism. Because faith in Jesus changes how we treat people. Because faith in Jesus means we don't break the royal law of love. Because faith in Jesus means we treat people as God and our glorious Lord Jesus Christ has treated and welcomed us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to be people who put your words into action. Who refuse to show favoritism based on people's external appearances or anything, dear Lord, but that we love people just as you have loved us, that we treat people as you have treated us. Mercy and pity and compassion and undeserved grace and kindness overflowing. Help our lives be overflowing with that same grace and mercy and goodness. Wanting to show with the freedom that we have as Christians this enormous love to others that you've shown to us. Poured out as you poured your love out and your life out there at the cross. That we would be people who pour our lives and our love out for the good of others. Thank you for the salvation we have in Jesus. Thank you for the freedom that we have knowing our sins are completely wiped clean because of your mercy to us. And help us to now obey you by putting these words into action. Not just being Christians who say we are, but Christians who show compassion and love to others as followers of our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's keeping Jesus as our vision.